The government is facing increasing pressure over how slowly it's rolling out its record $1.9 billion investment in mental health. The Health Minister, Andrew Little, is now considering a stock take, admitting frustration at the speed of progress. Well over a billion remains unspent despite the budget announcement 2 years ago. New mental health facilities alone, just $9 million has been spent out of a total of $235 million allocated. This comes as acute mental health facilities are operating in what one researcher has described as sometimes shocking conditions and under huge stress. The Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission has also criticised progress on the government's overall mental health plan, as has the Mental Health Foundation. I asked Minister Little how he would describe progress.
We are making progress. We've got 520... extra roles in operation in frontline positions in GP clinics, community clinics, youth one-stop shops and the like. That makes a significant difference at the primary mental health care end. We've got, and we put additional funding into youth mental health with the expansion of money. Okay, we put money into that. The Capital Works program, there's five big projects that we want to help with the acute end of mental health services. Four of them are in the design and planning stage, one yet to sort of get the initial approval underway, but that stuff is happening. But it is very slow. I think part of my frustration is that given that we inherited what we described as a mental health crisis, it is taking a long time to get some of these significant things started.
Student Mental Health Fund, we heard yesterday not a cent spent out of $25 million.
No, that is completely wrong.
Well, how much has
been?
That
is not correct. A lot of it has been committed. There was $25 million over a four-year period. $2 million is due to have been spent by next week, the 30th of June. About $1.5 million of that has been signed up, contracted for, maybe in fact be a little more than that. Then next year it's $5 million, then $7 million, then $10
million. But can you see the frustration?
Those arrangements have been intended.
Can you see the frustration that things are due, but yep, they're not here? And if you're a service user, or you love, yes, a service user, yep, the fact it's due means nothing to you.
Yes, so that's why we knew that mental health was in crisis. That's why the minute we were in government, we commenced the stock take. We made the commitment in 2019. The commitment we made was a 4 to 5 year program. We knew that it was going to take time to turn things around. Workforce issues, facilities issues, but actually just addressing the big gap, which the review said in 2018, was that frontline primary end. For mild to moderate mental health conditions. That's where we've given priority to. And we are 2 years into the 4 to 5 year program. 520 roles that weren't there 2 years ago are in place. That stuff is making a difference.
The acute end, though, why are we having people sleeping on mattresses and hallways? Five new acute beds. Do we need to build the purpose design new building in order to just get people better conditions to stay in the meantime?
Yes, we do. So Lynn, let's just put this in context. So the one major mental health investment, mental health facility investment that the previous government made was at Counties Monaco. It opened last year, September 2020. It was initially approved in 2015, so 5 year lead time. That is frustrating because, as we know that acute mental health services are under huge pressure, and we made the commitment for five significant rebuilds or upgrades. There's, in addition to that five, there's 11 other projects that were invested in through other streams of funding, but those capital projects just take a long time to get up.
And but can conditions not improve in the meantime? We just had the report from the researcher out last week, the Tugger School of Medicine based here in Wellington. That report out last week about the conditions that people are experiencing now. Is it just about getting new purpose-built facilities up, or could some stuff be happening in the meantime?
When I talked about the 11 other projects, a lot of that is the smaller level upgrades, and it's just doing stuff that means we can that the facilities at least look better and tidier, are safer, and there's some expansion of capacity. I have to say though, with the five big projects, there will be additional beds in place, but the strategy that we're embarked on as a result of Hauora Ōrana is doing more stuff at the mild to moderate end, at the front end, so that we actually prevent a lot more people going and needing those acute services. So we've got to be doing both at the same time.
But we know that we've got a crisis at the moment. We know that COVID is going to make it worse. We know that there are acute issues that need management at the moment. Look, I can't help thinking, Minister, on Adelaide Road, I watched a petrol station sold, bold, and becoming a construction site since the beginning of this year. Why is it so slow? There are cranes all over the city at the moment. Why is it so slow in the public sector development?
Certainly in health, there is, a health facility is not like your average, building an apartment and all the rest of it. There's a whole bunch of clinical requirements, safety requirements and so on, and particularly with a mental health facility. The other thing is that particularly in mental health facilities now, we have the benefit of, much more modern thinking about what a therapeutic environment actually looks like. We're trying to move away from that kind of the linoleum floors and the cinder block sort of walls. You look at the county's Manukau facility is kind of the gold standard now when you see it and look at it, the way it's designed. And so one of the things I'm very keen to see is particularly for health buildings, is some standard plans that can be just transplanted wherever we need that particular facility.
So
we're working on that at the moment as well. But it just does... It just does take a long time. And
can I ask about the stock take that you want to do? Because I'm listening to your frustration, and your frustration is shared by many people. What is it that you want a stock take of? Isn't a stock take getting the relevant officials from the Ministry of Health and the relevant officials from the district health boards in your office and saying why and getting it answered?
Yes. So I meet weekly with officials. I get periodic reports on the progress on the mental health stuff. That's why, look, I know about the what's happening at the primary mental health and addiction care end. I know what's happening in the youth one-stop shops, the extra money that's gone into some of those services. What I want to be sure, now that we're kind of 2 years into this 4 to 5 year program, is that how on track are we? What do we need to be doing about the workforce stuff? And I want to know what do the next 2 years look like in terms of milestones. I've been seeking that, and I get sort of bits of stuff. But I think also what I get, certainly from the correspondence I get and some of the commentary, there is this real concern now about, is there a level, the right level of urgency being applied? And I think for the sake of public assurance and public confidence, it would be helpful to me to have an external pair of eyes come in and say, yep, what you said in 2019 and signed up for, this is how it's going, this is what could be improved, but you're on target to
you
get
see,
wherever.
The bits
I
of
need
stuff,
that assurance.
The bits of stuff is worrying for something as important as this with this much money attached to it. And this comes back to a review that was done for you by the Mental Health and Wellbeing Commission, which was set up as a result of your reforms. That's been set up. They've reported... They've got on and done things and reported a year after being set up. And they are telling you that things are going wrong already. Some progress is visible, but frustration over the pace of change points to an urgent need for an overarching action plan. Now, that came to you some months ago now. Is it not going to work to have various bits of a health system you're about to reform trying to implement this thing?
So the long-term plan is out there for consultation at the moment. So there is a plan, and I've seen it and signed it off, and it's gone out for consultation. So that has been... And the feedback I've had to date is actually people are very pleased with it. But that is the long-term stuff. We've got the stuff that we signed up to in 2019, the $1.9 billion investment. $1.1 billion of health money. Others happen in education, corrections and what have you. But of the $1.1 billion of health money, we're 2 years into a 4 to 5 year program. We know we've got stuff done. I want to be sure that it is doing what we said we would do. We are where we should expect it to be. And the remaining rollout is that we're on target to achieve that. I think the public are entitled to have that assurance, because we're not getting that at the moment. And that's why I think it is timely to say, let's keep on doing the stuff that we're already signed up to do, but let's just be sure that we're achieving what we set out to do.
The Mental Health Foundation, another critic, and again, very excited about what was announced, but saying that the government or the ministry or the system is piecemealing, it's cherry-picking, rather than implementing a game-changing blueprint, which, of course, came out of your own original review. So, again, are we stuck in a bit of business as usual, bits and pieces doing their thing, and are we going to get cut through if that is the approach to implementing this thing?
I think the thing about big change, when you're also trying to do business as usual, nothing happens in a straight line, and there's no such thing as a perfect execution of a big plan or any plan. So I'm not seeking perfection. What I want to know is that with the investment that we've made and signed up to, with what we've done so far, that I know is making a difference. Because I've not only seen the clinics where these health improvement practitioners and health coaches are operating, I've met people who have used those services. I've got letters from people who've said what a difference it's made. They've been in distress for ages, and they've gone to this place. They've been sorted out. They know what they're doing. They've seen light at the end of the tunnel for the first time in many years. So I know the difference that stuff is making. I know at the acute end there is ongoing pressure. I get letters from usually the parents of adult children saying that they are really concerned that the adult child just cannot get the help they need. I get that. I want to make sure that as we're implementing the big change, we're not losing sight of the immediate need as well.
But we also heard from community and iwi services frustrated they couldn't even get to talk to the right people to access the funds to support the work that they're doing that's also delivering results. We heard that at the same time as we heard from the Mental Health Commission. Of the $2 billion, and in some ways it's crude to count it by money, but of the $2 billion then, 2 years on, two-fifths of the way through the plan, how much in total has been either spent or is imminent?
Well, what I can talk about is of the $1.1 billion that health controls, of that $748 million has been committed over the full four-year period. When I say committed, that's because contracts have been entered into, services have been signed up to, but they're invoiced on a periodic basis. So that's why we talk about what's been committed. Well, they are happening. I've talked about the 520 extra people. There's another X number to add to that because We have an enrolled patient population coverage at the moment of about 1.4 million. By the end of the process, it'll be about 3.7, 3.8 million. So, we're partway there. So there'll be quite a few more roles yet to add to that. Those agreements have yet to be signed up to. And then there's the building projects. When we made the investment decision in 2019, according to the planning, even then, we didn't expect construction to start until 2022. So the planning and design is underway. Shovels will be in the ground next year. Is it faster? It doesn't seem to me like the sort of urgency that we think we're dealing with a mental health crisis. I get that. But that is what we've got, and that's what we have to deal with.
Who will do your stock take, and when will you report?
Haven't determined how that is going to look. And for me, it is about getting that reassurance that what we've signed up to, that we are doing, and that it's making the difference that we expect, and that for the remainder of the 2 years we're on target to complete that execution.
Okay, may I ask you a couple of questions about COVID? How concerning this case having been in Wellington?
Obviously a worry, and this person, he was only here for a weekend, flew in first thing on the Saturday morning, flew out on the Monday morning, so we need those people who are on that flight QF163 that left Sydney on Friday evening, arrived just after midnight Saturday morning. We need those people to isolate and to ring Healthline and work out what they should do next. We need the four close contacts that he's already identified to Australian authorities to be getting tested and to isolate until they get their results back. We'll get more information from the Australians about places that he visited, and once we get that and throughout the day, we'll get those disclosed. But look, obviously, it's a worry, but this, when we opened the borders, that there's always a risk that there would be a positive case identified once we've opened those borders.
If this is the Delta variant, it's a different ball game from what we've dealt with before. What decisions will be under consideration at his cabinet meeting today to discuss the situation?
There's no cabinet meeting scheduled at this stage. I mean, I got briefed late last night. I've seen some information this morning. No decision on a cabinet meeting. We're waiting for officials to engage with the Australian counterparts, which are starting this morning, underway right now, and ministers will get information throughout the day, and those decisions will be taken. We'll keep information out there and being circulated just as we get it.
The experts are calling for a level 1.5 with much wider use of things like indoor mask wearing. Is this on the table now?
Yeah, well, I mean, there's circumstances in which people should be wearing masks. Obviously, public transport. I mean, people should be scanning anyway, and so if people have got out of the habit of scanning as they enter premises, and please step that up. But as we get information to hand, we know what the level of kind of risk is, and be able to evaluate that with the benefit of all of the relevant information, then we'll get information about what steps have to be taken.
Is it not odd that people wear masks on planes and then pull them off the second they walk off the plane and walk through an airport without them on? Are we just operating on situation last variant and not on situation Delta variant?
We've put in place the guidelines and the advice on the basis of the risk as it's been assessed by our health professionals and advisors. That's what we've done. I think the Delta variant has is a game changer, as it is in other countries. And we will await the advice on what steps to take in relation to that. We are still in the process of assessing the reality of the risk. We just don't know at the moment.
Is a lockdown in the capital a possibility if there is any indication that this has moved beyond the case who came to visit?
Look, I don't want to get ahead of the information that we've got. We know that there was one person who was here for 2 days in Wellington. We don't quite know the full extent of his movements. He's identified 4 close contacts, which is presumably the people he was staying with, and we need to know their movements and so on as well. Until we get all that information, it is hard to know what next step will be taken.
Can you just clarify, is it compulsory for anyone coming here under bubble arrangements to download and use the COVID Tracer app?
As I understand, yes, that is a requirement, yes.
That is Andrew Little, the Health Minister. I was speaking to him a little bit earlier this morning, and since that interview, the locations of interest have been released, the initial locations of interest, as well as the original Qantas flight. There's the Ridges Hotel in Featherston Street throughout the weekend, the Unichem Wellington Central Pharmacy on Saturday morning, Te Papatonga Rewa Saturday afternoon, and specifically the Surrealist Exhibition 4 to 5.45pm. If you were there at that time, you're considered a close contact of this person and you should be isolating for 14 days. Equally, if you were at Jack Hackett's bar in Inglewood Place on the corner of Taranaki Street, the Irish bar, on Saturday night between 8.45 and midnight, you're considered a close contact, should isolate and quarantine for 14 days. Details are on the Health Ministry's website and a further update coming at 1 o'clock. Meanwhile, the Papa, the National Museum, will be closed today after it's being identified as a location of interest.